WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. East Coast, West Coast, and points in between have been slammed with severe weather from a nor'easter to a confirmed microburst that ripped off roofs and knocked over semi-trucks in Tempe, Arizona.
We're lucky. There's a lot of plate glass here that was just flying around. When I was trying to close a door, I saw a huge piece of sheet metal just flying in the air, like maybe 2 feet wide.
President Trump is back at the White House after yesterday's hostage prisoner swap between Israel and Hamas. What's next for the peace plan? CBS's Nancy Cordes.
One of the biggest questions of all is who will pay to rebuild war-torn Gaza? Regional experts estimate it will cost $53 billion.
Speaking of money, the president told reporters on Air Force One on the return from Israel.
Now with tariffs, I think we're the richest country in the world, actually, the United States. We're taking in hundreds of billions of dollars.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. In many school districts, seniors who aren't able to pay off lunch debt or other debt they've accrued throughout their education aren't allowed to cross the stage on graduation day. They can even be taken to small claims court over these debts. According to the Education Data Initiative, Wisconsin has more than 202,000 children who are considered food insecure, and meal debt in the state is over $112 million. Grace held a trivia night on October 5th to help pay off school debt in Southwood County. The Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism, or GRACE, currently has five churches who participate. Reverend Kate West is the current president of the GRACE group.
We're just very thankful for the community who has so graciously helped, whether it's through like these tap house, donating space to different groups, have donated silent auction baskets.
West is also the minister of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Wisconsin Rapids.
I think most of us can agree that, you know, it's pretty clear in whatever faith tradition that people should be fed.
Last year, Grace paid off close to $3,000 in school debt in Nakusa and Wisconsin Rapids. Reverend Beth Roan Habhager is the pastor at the Moravian Church. She and her husband Seth hosted the trivia night at Bee's Tap House. They opened for this event on a Sunday when they're normally closed and donated their cash tips. A total of $1,339 was raised between the trivia, silent auction, and free will donation. Roan Habhager said the event was well attended and well received.
We are so grateful to the community for their support of this, and they're wanting to help us help our community that are struggling.
The Grace Group hopes to hold these trivia nights twice yearly, one in spring and one in the fall. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers reload.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball.
The Brewers host the Dodgers in Game 2 of the National League Championship Series tonight. The crew losing last night 2-1 in a tight ball game. The Dodgers' Freddie Freeman hit a high-flying home run to right field off of Milwaukee's Chad Patrick, top of the sixth, and talked about winning Game 1 of the series.
Getting on the road in an environment and taking the first one, it's huge. You can't understate that at all, just kind of how we did it in Philly. And to get the first one, and we obviously feeling pretty good, so hopefully we can score some more runs tomorrow.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Freddie Freeman's been a Brewer killer for a while, so hopefully he'll oversleep tomorrow or something.
First pitch tonight is 7:08. NBA. The Bucks host the Oklahoma City Thunder at Fiserv Forum. Tip-off time tonight, 7 o'clock. The Bucks are 3-0 so far in the preseason. NFL former Packers linebacker Za'Darius Smith, now with the Eagles, has announced his retirement. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs around 60 degrees. Rain tonight, a low around 45. Mostly cloudy and highs in the upper 50s on Wednesday. For Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, we'll be in the mid-40s. Thursday, a chance of rain and a high around 62. Right now, it's 44.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure? Like yourself. not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, farmers and the Trump tariffs. How are they faring? Will Westmoreland will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, October 14th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, or wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening to us or watching us on all the various platforms out there, podcasts, YouTube, Facebook. However you got here, we appreciate you getting your day started with us on this Tuesday, where you might be a little more sleep deprived than normal. So I got a question for you, as well as for producer Parker Olson down in Madison Studio A2. Do you understand now why the Brewers were able to beat the Dodgers six times in July when their ace Blake Snell was out with an injury? Because I do. Brewers lineup all understands this guy's good.
Yeah.
There's just no two ways around it. We were Snell shocked, if you were. The Brewer, I can't even call them the Brewers hitters. The Brewers batters were shell-shocked by Blake Snell.
Yeah.
Dodgers take game one of the National League Championship Series 2-1. Were it not for an unbelievable double play by the Brewers and a near comeback in the ninth inning, all we'd be talking about is a very nearly perfect game by the Dodger pitcher. That was very frustrating to watch.
I don't even know if I can say that it was frustrating, because it was just such good pitching, to be honest with you.
It really was. Like, you were like, you can't solve this guy.
No.
You know?
There were a couple of batters for the Brewers that were frustrating. Like, Christian Yelich was frustrating.
Yes.
He has been cold pretty much all postseason and was clearly not seeing the ball. But, I mean, Snell was just doing whatever he wanted. He was... I've talked about this before.
The metaphor you always use, he was painting. He was painting the canvas. So wherever he wanted the stroke to go, it went, you know, whereas so many other times you see a pitcher thinks it's going there, but it goes over there. And for Snell, it was like, nope, I want it to go there. And it did.
And it was
really something. See, the thing, he was injured and not able to play back in July. We swept all six games from the Dodgers because they were all in two tight bunches, 2-3-game series in the month of July. And he was out during that time. So the good news is he can't pitch all the games. So we got him in that one. And like I said, he pitched eight innings. He faced the minimum.
Yeah.
It wasn't a perfect game because there was a base runner who then promptly got picked off. But other than that, 24 men up, 24 men erase. And... You can debate whether he should have been allowed to come out for the last three. Now, again, it wouldn't have been a perfect game, but still, you get 24 up and basically 24 down. That's pretty good stuff. You know?
It's very good. I think it's really promising for the Brewers to have seen that they can get hits, because going into tonight, if they didn't get absolutely anything going, that would have been really hard, but they got a little bit of something going there, and they showed themselves that Dodger bullpen might be where you can get to guys. So this should probably cement the Brewers' approach of take a lot of pitches, put the ball in play against those starting pitchers so you can finally get to that bullpen and really get some work in.
So let's talk about that double play. You ever heard, I'm sure you've heard the phrase ground into a double play. And usually you ground into a double play to the shortstop or the second baseman. So the ball travels, you know, 150 feet or something like this.
Yeah.
We're going to describe to you now grounding into a double play at 400 feet. So we're in the fourth inning. There's one out. The Dodgers have the bases loaded. And Max Muncy hits a fly ball to center. Should have been a grand slam.
Yeah.
It was that close to a grand slam. Sal Frelick, who I'm still not sure why he was playing center field, but he reached just high enough for the ball to glance off his mitt, hit the wall, and then back to him. So it wasn't a catch because it deflected off the wall. It was a live ball. So as a result, and this gets, if you're not a baseball rule follower, I apologize, it's a little in the weeds, but because he didn't catch it, it bounced off the wall. It wasn't a matter of the runner tagging up at third and then needing to be tagged out at home. Yeah. Because the bases were loaded, this was a force play, no different than if he'd have ground a shortstop. And so Frelick throws home. It got to William Contreras a split second ahead of the runner. And so it counts as a force out. He didn't have to tag the runner. It's a force out. And then Contreras had the presence of mind to see that the runner on second froze. And he just starts jogging up the third baseline, daring the runner, ready to throw to the third baseman, but never needs to, steps on third base, and it's a double play. You know, just the way you design it, an 8-2 or 8-6-2, two-unassisted double play. Nothing to it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And there, we'll always have that image of Sal Frelick. They cut to him afterwards, right after, and he's got this look like, what? What just happened? Huh? Did I catch the, was that a catch? And that's what a lot of people thought. They thought, well, is that a catch? No, it's not a catch. And the left field umpire got it right away. And then the umpiring crew got the rest of it right.
Shout out to those umpires. I have been very vocal.
I was still vocal last night. Those balls and strikes calls.
It was a bad
good
zone.
Good Lord.
It was a bad
bring
zone.
On the robots. But yes, they got that one right. It was actually one of the rare times. I am a big time Brian Anderson fan.
Oh my God. Yes.
Thrilled that he's calling this for TBS.
Yes.
But he got that wrong on multiple levels. He got the catch wrong. He got the number of outs wrong at one point. And I understand. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes.
I mean, it was confusing as all get out, but I was more frustrated with the camera directing because they didn't ever show the out at third for like 2 minutes.
Yeah. You had to come back from the break. Again, it's one of those things that you don't appreciate certain things and you take them for granted until you see other people do it. Yeah. Really good TV directing, especially with live sports.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in those trucks and those control rooms. And I mean, you have to be ready. You're looking at 30 different monitors and you have to know what camera to call. And I mean, we talk about air traffic controllers and that's life or death, but I'm saying for the same kind of mental speed at which you have to make these decisions. I definitely appreciate it more. There's a lot of things about this TBS crew that make me a little crazy with some of the graphics and things like that. So I would save that for a sports talk station where I've got 2 hours to talk about the game, but we ain't got that. No. So I'll just say it's been great to watch. And I'll be watching all 9 innings again tonight. I don't even feel tired as a result of the game. It was actually kind of a nice break. Frustrating as all get out. We're like, oh my God, he's facing the minimum number. He's facing, what was it? He faced 15, 18, 21, 24. It was crazy. But like I said, he can't pitch every day.
No, he can't. And I do think, like I said, I think there's a little bit of promise coming into tonight for the Brewers. I'm confident. I don't feel any worse about the series than I did already. I'm a little worried about our bullpen just for our like stamina standpoint, but I think we're okay. Mm-hmm.
The ninth inning, the Brewers actually got the bases loaded.
They juiced them.
And we're threatening. And at one point, it was Bryce Terang that nearly got hit, got out of the way.
Yeah.
And he look, some people, it is not human nature to stand there and let a ball coming 100 miles an hour at you hit you. Now, some batters, I mean, it's just ingrained. They excel at take the hit. And Bryce Strang would be the first to say if he could take it back, he would not have gotten out of the way of one particular pitch. But, you know, you also risk having it be called intentional.
Possibly the only time in my life that I will ever say this, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, it would have been awesome if Wilson Contreras was a Brewer for a second there. Because <Yes. laughs> he would have taken that straight off the chest, and then he would have charged the mound and probably got ejected. But you know what? He would have had the hit by pitch, and the run would have scored.
It would have been much more exciting that way. And again, that's not one to dwell on because that's hardly a way that you want to win the game. But the fact of the matter is the Brewers hitters were able to get to the bullpen, and they've been able to get to Dodger starting pitching otherwise, you know, throughout the course of the season. So, you know, we shake this one off. We're coming off that 5-game series against the Cubs. And, you know, so get a good night's sleep in your own bed tonight and do one more at American Family Field. Coverage begins at 6:30 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Again, same time. And then there's a day off tomorrow. The series moves to Los Angeles after that. I spent a lot of time in the earlier part of the game when, again, it was just, you know, perfect pitching and the Brewers going down in order. And I thought, oh my God, the people at TBS and Major League Baseball must be tearing their hair out over how'd Milwaukee get in here? Our ratings are going to be terrible. Everybody's going to be talking about that double play today.
Oh my God.
And I think they're going to get a few more viewers tonight than they would have otherwise.
Yeah, they might have. I just read something that the runner who was on first was Tommy Edman. When he went back to first base because he thought it was caught, he actually passed Max Muncy. So that also would have been an out. So technically speaking, it could have been a triple play.
Hadn't been one out, it would have been a triple play.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been even more exciting. Tony reminds us on YouTube that Cleveland clinched their playoff appearance on a hit by pitch. First time in history that had ever been done. He says the double play was memorable. And he goes on to write, I genuinely thought Pat and Parker's eyes would be red and bloodshot from last night. It was just too exciting. I was very thrilled. It's the league championship series. You know, we're playing for the pennant. It's great. Freddie Peralta has been named as the starter for tonight, so it won't be a full bullpen game, we hope. You know, but we've seen starting pitching chased too early in the past. So
had another good first.
Everybody in the bullpen got to be ready. There's just no two ways around it, you know. So that's where we go from here. Again, it's just one game in the book. So far, you know, 97 wins in the regular season, 3 wins in the postseason. So we're at 100 wins, and you still just got to win 8 more. You got to win 4 of the next 6 against the Dodgers, and then 4 more against either the Blue Jays or Seattle. And it really appears at the moment like it's going to be Seattle because they are just beating up on Toronto in the first 2 games.
On the road, too.
On the road, yes. Do you watch any of the part of the game where yesterday was Thanksgiving in Canada? You know, because of the metric system, the way the calendar works and all that.
Yeah.
And the play-by-play guy is carving a turkey live on air. He's giving John Schmoltz a lesson in how to carve a turkey as he's calling play-by-play. And social media was great that way because you had some people that were so offended, like they felt so disrespected, like our team is playing for the playoffs and they're carving a turkey, and other people going, this guy's the greatest. He can call a play-by-play game on network TV and demonstrate how you want to carve the entire turkey breast off first and then slice it just so. And I at the time I had the TV down, I was doing something else, and I'm like, is it Canadian Thanksgiving or something? Why else would there be a turkey in the booth?
Yeah.
Come to find out that's exactly why. But if I were the play-by-play guy, I don't know that I would call for that bit. I don't know that I could do it because you only have to mess up one play.
I mean, that's true.
But he did it.
He did it very well. And dare I say, broadcasts are better when there is food involved on air.
Yes. And it all started with John Madden and the turducken.
Yeah,
it's just it's how it is done. All right, we'll tell you what else is coming up on the program here just a bit. We'll cover a wide range of temperatures around the state as well. That's all coming up. But first, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Are you a parent of a 2 to 8 year old? Listen closely for an exciting offer, then head to abcmouse.com/radio to learn more. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
We're offering a promo at abcmouse.com/radio to try it for free for a month, then $14.99 per month until canceled. Go to abcmouse.com/radio to see this offer. That's abcmouse.com/radio. Actual ABC Mouse users compensated for their testimonials, sponsored by Age of Learning.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs, don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Roger in Stevens Point on Facebook gets it right. Toronto fans should not panic. He says the Blue Jays won 4 out of 6 against Seattle during the regular season, including a sweep at Seattle, which is why you play every game, and it's why you play all the games and every inning of them. So that series will roll on as well. Hey, you can sign up for Civic Media's new daily newsletter filled with show highlights, lots of links, and more. CivicMediaToday.substack.com is the place to go sign up. CivicMediaToday.substack.com. Get that as well as the one that I'm sure you're already getting, which is the daily newsletter from Up North News. Head over to UpNorthNewsWI.com to learn more about that. In today's edition, of all the places that you could do a fall weekend getaway to a cabin, some group somewhere did a survey, because that's what the internet is now, nothing but surveys, the 10 best this, the 12 best that. And of all the places to do a fall cabin getaway, several destinations are in Wisconsin. Find out what they are by being part of our newsletter. There's also an article there about the proposed data center for Port Washington that outlines some of the issues and some of the public opposition to it. Again, for that and more, sign up for the newsletter over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Remember, you can join the show as well here. The phones are working once again. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So by all means, feel free to steer the conversation with your comments or questions that way, or get on the Civic Media app. And that way you can use the text feature, or you can use the voice note feature. to record us a little note as well. And of course, you can get in the comment sections on the Up North News or the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages. And you can also email the show radio@upnorthnewswi.com, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Why might you do that? Because there's a lot of people who are commenting on our question of the week, and it is all about the test drilling that was done for potential mining in the Northwoods for zinc and copper and gold and other precious metals, and whether that's something that should never be allowed because you just can't mine safely, or it should be allowed because you can mine safely. You just need, you know, the right safeguards in place, or drill, baby, drill. You know, these companies know what's best. Let them just do whatever it is that they want to do to the Northwoods. You definitely have thoughts on that. There's been, as you might not be surprised to hear, that overwhelmingly at this point, the response is from people who do not want to see any mining up north. But there is a fair sampling of answers that say it can be done if you've got proper safeguards in place. It's very rare that we always put up what you would consider, I don't know, the mega response, and we don't get a lot of that. But every so often one's comes through with some colorful commentary. Tony on YouTube says, no more mining, please and thank you. If it has to happen, I want strict regulations. He says, I know Pat is very anti-regulations. That's sarcasm after our commentary yesterday about drilling, or about regulations versus, you know, what are regulations? Regulations are protections for the environment, for you, the consumer, for you, the employee, and more. Coming up on the program later, we're going to be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area about things going on in Wisconsin politics. And Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom will join us live from Capitol Hill, where things continue to be very, very quiet about the federal government shutdown. There's no movement right now to do anything about it. And that's not what Democrats want. They stand ready to come back into session anytime when Republicans are ready, because they need Democratic votes. And if they want those Democratic votes, they have to make some moves on health care. And Republicans say, nope, we would rather just continue to, you know, stick it to people. And they are. I saw a story this morning about a food bank that was opening up and getting busier in Highland Falls, New York. Now, Highland Falls, New York wouldn't mean anything to you unless I told you it's the home of the West Point Military Academy. So, yeah, basically the, you know, the cradle of the United States Army, which I know well, having I had a daughter that lived there for a few years, and it's a lovely little community, but it is one centered on having a competent federal government that, you know, keeps the paychecks coming, and it's not. And you've got a president and Congress that don't seem to give a damn. And so you've got food banks opening there. And then closer to home, you've got food share and WIC benefits that may not be fully funded next month if the shutdown continues. An article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday from Molly Beck and Lawrence Andrea says that food assistance programs in Wisconsin may not be funded in November, according to a letter from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to state officials. More than 700,000 Wisconsin residents depend on those two programs, WIC and SNAP. The letter says if the current lapse in appropriations continues, there will be insufficient funds to pay full November SNAP benefits to 42 million individuals across the nation. And again, it seems to me that's the kind of thing that you would want to avoid if you were, you know, president of the United States. But, you know, Mr. Art of the Deal continues to play around the globe as if he has somehow solved all of Middle East peace. Like he's never seen Camp David and Oslo and everything else. Don't get me wrong. The new ceasefire is a wonderful thing. Having the hostages home is a wonderful thing. But stop with the mission accomplished banner. There's a lot of work to be done yet in the Middle East, but there's a lot more work to be done home, at home first. And maybe that's where the focus ought to be when you've got people who are literally facing the inability to feed their families. Temperatures around the state this morning, quite a range. In Hayward right now, they're at 28 degrees. Meanwhile, down in Racine, 57 degrees. You'll get your local forecast throughout the day on your local Civic Media station. But coming up next, we'll have the Midwest Farm Report. That'll be followed by today's history lesson. And that'll include, well, we'll kick things off with a little Thomas Dolby. That's coming up after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR. For some, the hunt has already begun. Others are getting ready. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. And if you're successful in your hunt, you might be thinking about how you can use that meat. One of our Wisconsin meat science experts gives you suggestions next.
You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough. All to ensure that you get consistent performance from every seed that can pay off with better soybean yield. Zitavo soybean seed is ready to raise the bar for soybeans. Are you? Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
Dr. Jeff Sindelar is one of our University Extension meat specialists, and he says for those of you that are looking to extend the life of the meat that you harvest, jerky is a very good option. And he's got some suggestions about the basic do's if you want to make your own jerky.
Slice jerky to a good thickness, typically about a quarter inch thick is ideal. And a lot of people like to take whole pieces of meat, put them into a freezer for a little bit to firm things up. And then slice, and if you have a really good sharp knife, you can absolutely do this by hand. You just have to be a little careful and take your time. And then get some salt, get some sugar, maybe some spices if you like maybe some black pepper, maybe some red pepper, maybe some ginger or garlic. Mix those with the jerky and allow that jerky to absorb that. And then you want to go through some cooking and drying process.
Dr. Jeff Sindelar, University Extension meat specialist, with some suggestions on what you can do with that harvested meat. Jerky, a good option. And don't forget, there's all kinds of flavors. Just take a look at what's available at your local grocery store. One very popular flavor, teriyaki, and that's simply using soy sauce.
We're number one! We're number one!
The Pioneer brand Vorseed and Los Quarantine beat DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way.
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm.
How'd you guys do it?
3 modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility, yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
And another case of high-path avian influenza has been detected in a backyard poultry flock in Racine County. The birds have all been depopulated to prevent the spread of the disease. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection reminding all livestock owners and anyone that owns birds to practice good biosecurity measures as migratory birds pass over Wisconsin as they head south. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food news on a Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs around 60 degrees. Rain tonight, a low around 45. Mostly cloudy and highs in the upper 50s on Wednesday. For Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, will be in the mid-40s. Thursday, a chance of rain and a high around 62.
Right now, 40 degrees.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome UW Cinematheque programmer and host of the Lifers podcast, Ben Reiser. And then comedy sports director Mike Kauth joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Got to give credit to Roger and Stevens Point jumping on Facebook and just sending us one word. Science! Knowing full well that we would be hearing from Tom Robertson, who was born in London 67 years ago today. His stage name became Thomas Dolby, and She Blinded Me with Science became a big hit in the early 1980s. Welcome to today's history lesson. We got a whole lot of people doing things on this day. There's Chuck Yeager, who on this day in 1947 became the first person to exceed the speed of sound. There was Martin Luther King Jr., who on this day in 1964 won the Nobel Peace Prize for combating racial inequality through nonviolence. It's kind of a reverse of the guy who wants a peace prize now for trying to, you know, exacerbate racial inequality through government-sanctioned violence. But give him a Nobel Peace Prize, right? And on this day in 2003, the Steve Bartman incident took place at Wrigley Field in Chicago. Young Mr. Parker Olson here, not yet born or a babe. You were born.
I was a couple months old.
And yet you chuckled. You're familiar with the Bartman incident.
Oh, yeah. How could you not be familiar with a little bit of Cubs misery? Come on.
It marks the day, October 14, 2003, in a postseason game between the Cubs and the Florida Marlins, when a spectator attempting to catch a fly ball maybe affected the outcome of the game. I think a lot of it was because of the reaction from the Cubs outfielder, Moises Alou, who was very frustrated that Bartman and other fans, you know, tried to catch the ball. And then, remember all the nice things I just said about TV directors and TV crews?
Yeah.
I take it all back when it comes to Bartman, that they chose back then to just put the camera on him and make an instant villain out of him. And his life was ruined for years and years and years as a result of that.
Can you imagine if that happened today with social media?
Oh, my God. At the time, people didn't know. He was able to go back to his kind of nothing job and just kind of quietly do that and do nothing else. Well, his job would have been out there, his address would have been out there, and everything else. So, I don't know. Let's see. From Alicia here says, back to Chuck Yeager, I may need to find the right stuff again. I wanted to be an astronaut because of that movie. As good a book, is the book better than the movie better than the book? It's one of those rare times where you're both right. You know, the right stuff is just it with Chuck Yeager and so much more. So, anyway, yeah, Steve Bartman, 2003, that was already. On this day in 1983, Cyndi Lauper released her first solo album, She's So Unusual, and MTV took to it right away. And how could it not? I mean, the outfits and the colors and, you know, it's got girls. They just want to have fun.
They do just want to.
Oh, yeah, she could not have timed that better with MTV just coming to the air as well. All right, we talked about people doing interesting things on this date. Here's a story for you. On this day in 1912 in Milwaukee, former President Theodore Roosevelt was shot and wounded by saloon keeper John Schrank. Thankfully, inside Roosevelt's coat pocket was a glasses case and a folded 50-page manuscript of his remarks. Teddy Roosevelt did not give short speeches. With the bullet wound still fresh in his chest, Roosevelt delivered his scheduled speech at the Old Milwaukee Auditorium before seeking medical care because, as a hunter, he was certain the bullet hadn't pierced his lung because he wasn't coughing up blood. He started by saying, "I don't know whether you fully understand that I have just been shot, but it takes more than that to kill a bull moose." And he went on to speak for the next 90 minutes. The bullet was never removed. There's a story.
I didn't know that was in Milwaukee.
That was in Milwaukee. Yes, it was. Yep. Let's see. 1957, the number one hit in the country was by the Everly Brothers. On this day in 1966, Grace Slick made her first stage appearance with Jefferson Airplane at the Fillmore West in San Francisco. On this day in 1967, after 15 weeks at number one, the Beatles album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was knocked out of the top spot by Bobby Gentry's Ode to Billy Joel. I almost said Billy Joel because of the documentary that I was watching this week. Ode to Billy Joel. Billy Joel did not jump off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Though, if you'd watch the documentary, you could see how that might happen. But we'll talk about that more with Greg on Friday. Happy birthday to R&B singer Karen White. Today, she turned 60 years old. As her hit Romantic, she had a few hits in the early 1990s. John Dean, the White House counselor to President Richard Nixon, who was kind of the lead whistleblower on the Watergate scandal. He is 87 years old today and still really can't believe that he's seen all these things that are worse than Watergate. We thought we'd been at the dark part back in 73, 74, at which point Trump and others said, "Hold my beer." Let's see. Happy birthday to Justin Hayward, frontman of the Moody Blues. He turns 79 today. It's a bittersweet birthday because with the death last week of his bandmate John Lodge, Justin Hayward is the only remaining member of the Moody Blues classic lineup from the 1960s and 70s. Happy birthday to Cliff Richard. The British music legend is 85 years old today. In the days when you could pick a really good stage name like Cliff Richard, because some manager would go, "What's your name again?" "Harold Webb." "Yeah, that's not going to work. You're not Harold Webb anymore. You're Cliff Richard." And he went on to have a gazillion hits, mostly in the UK. Let's see. Happy birthday to Usher. That's his birth name. His name is Usher Raymond IV. And he was born in Dallas 47 years ago today. This is the anniversary of the birth of George Floyd. He was born this day in 1973. On this day in 1972, the number one song was by Michael Jackson, a song about a boy and his pet rat.
A what now?
It's his pet rat. Seriously. Weren't we just saying yesterday how 7 years later, Michael Jackson, or no, 4 years later, was doing the Off the Wall album and finally had his own creative control? It might have been because he had to do schlocky songs about a boy and his pet rat.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
Here's a good birthday. Natalie Maines from the Chicks. She is 51 years old today. Natalie Maines again, 51, born in Lubbock, Texas. And again, there will always be a part of me that feels completely cheated at the far right losing their minds and again canceling the Chicks and then having the gall to complain about cancel culture. But let's go back to 1974 talking about country music. The Nashville veterans were just worried about the sanctity of country music because a foreigner had just won Female Vocalist of the Year at the Country Music Association Awards. Who won that CMA award for Female Vocalist of the Year in 1974 that caused all this angst, all this existential concern about country music? It was that rebel, Olivia Newton-John. So, okay, that's fine. Let's see, we got another country music story for you. This day in 2006, Eric Church was opening at Madison Square Garden for Rascal Flatts. But Eric Church ran past his allotted time and played a little Crazy Train. Not exactly, again, a staple of country music. And he was kicked off the tour. And he was replaced with a talented newcomer by the name of Taylor Swift.
That's crazy.
You just never know where that break is going to come from. It's like my story last week about Glenn Frey and his diverticulitis and how it launched my TV career. You just never know what's going to happen on any given day. What, Mr. Olson, is on the national day calendar for today?
Today we have got National Dessert Day. I'm a big fan of this day.
Oh, big fan. Do you have, if I just say National Dessert Day, you get one thing, go.
Oh, what's that cake called? It's a like Butterfinger Tort, I think.
Oh, it's very yeah, that's good. Not a bad choice.
Very good. What about you?
Let's see. The first thing that came to mind was pumpkin pie, but that's because I had some over the weekend. Cherry pie would be right up in there as well. And, you know, there's almost anything that's related to chocolate, you know, a hot fudge brownie sundae, something like that.
Yeah. Can't go wrong.
There we go. I'm spoiling my after show breakfast. Oh, well. So that's for National Dessert Day. What did we miss? You can use the text line, the voice note feature, the comment sections in YouTube and Facebook. And what is the quintessential favorite dessert for National Dessert Day of the Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News radio audience? That's a long-winded question. What's your favorite dessert?
What's your favorite dessert, guys?
Let us know. It's National Dessert Day. You get one thing that you want to have on this day. What's it going to be? What else on the calendar today?
We have also got Face Your Fears Day. Pat, are there any fears you want to face today?
No, because I don't want to face them because they're a fear. That's why I'm running in the other direction from them.
But it's Face Your Fears Day. You turn around, face them.
No. Let's see. There's two different types. There's the kind of fear that you actually could or would face. Let's say, for example, I've never done I've never been in a play. I've never done any kind of like live theater or whatever. Sure. That's one, you know, where I always kind of like waffled. Maybe one day I will face my fears and I will do that, you know, playing the old grouchy man in a play. I know, typecasting, right? And then there's fears I would never face. I'd never understand why people jump out of a perfectly good airplane, you know. So when you're like, face your fear, no, not gonna. So actually here, Tony nailed it. He says he loves, he both loves and fears lava cake. So he's combining two national days in there.
You know what?
Lava cake is good. He says, my wife loves carrot cake. Tony, I hate to break this to you. You're wrong, and so is she. Nobody loves carrot cake. They love the frosting that goes on carrot. Carrot cake is merely a conduit for that. The same goes with pumpkin bars, you know, that very sugary buttercream frosting that goes on those things.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, let's face it. You put that on, you know, old potato chips, and that'll still taste good.
Frosting can save anything.
Good frosting can save. It's kind of like a good gravy, you know, can do the same thing. Tony quickly responds, no, she will eat it without the frosting.
Oh, so she's just crazy.
Yeah, and Alicia, I understand there are soldiers who jump out of planes after working on a military aircraft. I don't know. I don't know why you would do that. Again, perfectly good airplane. Don't do it. We didn't ask about your fear. What fears do you have to face?
Fears do I have to face? I feel fine. I don't know.
You don't fear anything?
I mean, sometimes
I mean, somebody could walk in with like a snake or I don't know.
Something. Yeah, okay. Sometimes I fear you.
Oh, see, now that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which takes us to our last national day today,
it's National I Love You Day. I love you, Pat.
I know. Coming up, we will have in our 7 o'clock hour much more covering the world of news. And in our 8 o'clock hour, Dan Schaefer and Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Don't be afraid. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my.
goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers and Buckeyes square off in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. October 15th, a pivotal case in the future of the Voting Rights Act will be heard in the U.S. Supreme Court. It pits the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause against 60 years of court precedent and the 15th Amendment. Voting rights protections for minority Americans are at stake. Since 2013, the Roberts Court has struck down the VRA's preclearance oversight of discriminatory states and last year made it harder for minority voters to prove racial gerrymandering. Now, the VRA's protections from racial gerrymandering could be eliminated entirely. Louisiana v. Calais is a continuation of a racial gerrymandering case for which lower courts mandated two majority-minority congressional districts under Section 2. Louisiana's population is 33% African American, but as of 2022, in only one congressional district out of six could black voters have a realistic chance of electing a candidate of their choice. Quote, non-African American voters claim the majority-minority districts discriminate against them under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The state of Louisiana argues that race-based redistricting, including under the Voting Rights Act, is therefore unconstitutional. We'll discuss the 14th and 15th Amendments and the Equal Protection Clause in our next report. Oral arguments will be streamed beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We have a link at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits,
we can't read a poker face,
deep cuts, and some authentic cringe.
This is how you remind.
From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this Monday, October 13th, 2025. Have your host James with you right now, and we are joined by some of our great friends from the League of Women Voters of the Wisconsin Rapids area. I'd like to let the audience put a voice to the name, so we'll go down the line here and let you both introduce yourselves.
I'm Clara Kabishuk, and I've been a member of League for a number of years, and I'm the first vice president.
Clara, thank you for being here.
Hi, I'm Bridget Musalem, and I'm with the League, only about 5 or so years, 6 years, but I'm currently our local president, and I'm proud to be here. Thank you.
And thank you for being here, Bridget. Appreciate it. Now, right out the gate, I have to tell you both how much I appreciate you and your fellow team members, if you will, and the great work that you're doing in our communities and promoting democracy, helping democracy live. And I know that if I didn't say this, my mother would be very angry at me. So I got to get it. No, I appreciate you guys very much and appreciate the time. I want to dive into a couple of things with you. And one thing in particular that really stood out to me that I really love the idea and the essence behind this. There's a pledge going around that you have started. Can we get, well, we'll get into that in a moment. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. I'm excited about the pledge. I did want to touch on a little bit of what League of Women Voters is. I imagine that at this point in the game, most people understand and know what the organization is. But for those that may not, Clara, could you kind of like synopsize it a little bit for us?
Well, our biggest thrust is getting more people to vote and to let them know what the rules are of voting and to give them comfort when they go to a voting booth so that they feel they know how to vote and who to vote for and make good judgments. And that's partly a matter of being well-educated and following some of the news broadcasts and things and looking up different sources of information rather than just one source of information.
Yeah, yeah, well said. I appreciate that, Claire. Thank you for that. Now we can dive into the pledge a little bit, because I think this is a really unique and wonderful idea. And one of the things that I note about it, and I think that this is very noteworthy with the league itself as well, is something that we really hold very highly around here at WFHR. And this is a bipartisan topic. This is a thing that everybody can get behind and everybody can get into and appreciate. And that's where this pledge, for me at least, starts, is something that I think that no matter who you vote for or what side of the aisle you're on, this is something that we can all get behind. Can we let everybody know what this pledge is?
Okay, first of all, the pledge really believes that you're saying, I want to be part of our democracy. I want to be part and do my job for the country. So the league decided that we need to do something more than just telling people where to vote, how to vote. We need to encourage them to become a grassroots engager. And for that, they decided that we're going to have what we call the Unite and Rise 8.5. Why 8.5? They're saying that you need about 8.5 million people, that's from those who are eligible to vote in the country, that they should become engaged. They have to express their desire to go ahead and defend the democracy. So to do the pledge, all we're asking you is to go on our website, lwvwra.wordpress.com. If that's too complicated, just go ahead and go on Google and Google League of Women Voters of Wisconsin Rapids Areas, and you get it.
And Bridget's absolutely right. I tested it out this morning, and it popped right up right away. First thing on
it?
There.
Yep. When you go on the first, right on when you go on the first page of our website, you see a little video called Unite and Rise 8.5. That explains, that's from the National League, that explains what Unite and Rise and 8.5 is all about. Then, but if you don't want to go ahead and put that work in, you can just click on the link right below it on that first page is a link that takes you directly to the form which lets you do the pledge. What is the pledge all about? It just asks you that you are going to support the democracy. You do not have to be a league member. Of course, we'd love for you to be a league member, but you do not have to be. And then you fill out your contact information. They need to have that in order to have the data to see, are they meeting their goal of 8.5?
And that's data that they already have from voting, you know,
right,
registering to vote. And
exactly.
That.
Now, if you do not want any information from the leak, and you all know when you sign up for something you do, then go ahead and unclick that little box on the right-hand side, and then you're off the hook. But we would encourage you to learn about the leak.
Do we have an idea of where this started, where the idea of this came from?
Yes. The National League decided in late April that our democracy is really being threatened. And so they felt that there was, like, you know, real an issue, and we needed to get engaged. So they wanted to go back to their grassroots, which is the foundation of the league. Mm-hmm. And they said everyone needs to become involved. And so then they decided to organize that Unite and Rise 8.5. And they divided it into segments. So every 3 months, they have a new focus. They don't give up the others, but they do have a main focus. And the first one was talking about that power shift. And that's indeed saying, let's everybody do what we're supposed to do, be grassroots engagers. Mm. So that's it. And now this next one, which goes to the end of the month, that talks about holding government accountable.
Very, very good. I think that something like this, if it was going on in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, at any other time, I would think just as much and just as highly of it. But it's no secret in 2025 how important something like this is, why we're doing it in 2025. And I think that, like a lot of people that I talk to, and I have friends from both sides of the aisle, I make a point to read articles and research from both sides. I myself am very bipartisan and very down the line. And I appreciate being able to have a democracy that I can do that with. I appreciate being in a country that I can do that with. Politics has always been a big part of my family, and growing up in Chicago, you just can't get around it. You know, it's like that, an Italian sausage, it's everywhere. And growing up, for me, politics was never divisive. It was never really, like, I grew up with many different people of different sides and everything. Mm-hmm. And if it did get talked about, because you didn't really talk much politics back in the day, there was a time in our country where it was actually considered kind of rude to tell somebody who you voted for or something like that. I miss that. I appreciate that. I think that that's an important part of democracy. I don't think that you need to wear whoever you're voting for or your team.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The last living 20 hostages held in Gaza are savoring freedom. Names of two of the four dead returned have been revealed. As for the other 28, CBS's Deborah Pata from Jerusalem.
According to Israel's hostage envoy, a multinational force will be tasked with locating 24 more still in Gaza that have not been returned.
On his way back to the White House, President Trump told reporters on Air Force One, Democrats are responsible for the government shutdown now in day 14.
They want to have health care for illegals that have come in. Many of these people are criminals, and they want to have health care.
Hurricane force winds and ravaging storm surges blamed for one death in Alaska. Two people are missing. Meteorologist David Parkinson.
The remnants of Typhoon Halong walloped the coast of Alaska, at least in the southwestern section of the state. In some places, the storm surge was so large it beat the old record by 2 feet.